I'm Pastor Lauer from Our Savior's Lutheran Church in Mankato, which brings you this brief broadcast each Sunday morning at 8:03 and again on Sunday afternoon about 5:45. Our Savior's is located at 1103 North Broad Street, just across from Franklin Elementary in Mankato. During these days of pandemic precautions, our regular services are suspended, but we invite you to find out more about us at oslcmankato.org. Even so, we're glad to proclaim the good news of God and Jesus Christ, even now and to everyone.
God's grace and peace to each of you through Jesus, our risen Lord and Savior. Amen. Words can change their meaning over time. Today at the beginning of the service, we started out with the line, "Our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth." That comes from one of David's Psalms. And it is still common to hear people talk about God as our helper. We pray, "Oh God, help me to live life that's pleasing to you," or something along those lines. Many Christians think of God primarily as our holy helper, and I understand that. But I submit to you today that the word help may no longer be correct or enough to adequately describe what God does for us. Today, the word help doesn't really bring to mind the idea of a person drowning, crying, "Help, help!" When I was a kid, you didn't use the word help unless you needed help like that. But today it's more like requesting a little assistance, as when a person may ask for a little help in bringing in the groceries or lifting something heavy. It's not that we need people to do things for us. It's more that we want people to help us. Maybe it all comes from the whole idea of the self-help era, but that's for another discussion. For the most part, we are all pretty capable people and we can take care of ourselves. But from time to time, we may need a little help from God, is what people have started to think. "Oh God, help me pass this test." I don't know about you, but I think I used that one a few times. Or maybe, "Jesus, help me see the good in others." In other words, I'm a pretty good person and I usually do, but there are some people for which I need a bit more help. You see the limiting quality there? Certainly it is true that God the Holy Spirit is our helper in the sense that he gives us assistance that we need to live the Christian life. But these days we may want to start using a different word, which better describes our relationship when it comes to Jesus, our help and salvation. In fact, we have the perfect word in the name of our congregation. We confess that Jesus is our Savior. So like a person used to cry for help when they needed saving, let's just say he saves us. Jesus Christ, the Son of God and Lord of all creation, did not lay down his life just to give us a little help now and then. But God became man, gave his life that he might save us from sin and death. Jesus makes that point for us in the Gospels. He describes himself as a good shepherd who lays down his life to save the sheep. What makes him a good shepherd then is that when the chips are down, he doesn't run away from the trouble, he doesn't leave us to fend for himself, but he lays down his life for us. He's the shepherd, we're the sheep, so that when the wolf comes to start snatching sheep for his snacks, the good shepherd doesn't run away. Instead, he places himself directly between the wolf and the sheep, almost as if to say, "If you want to get to them, you got to go through me first." It's no easy thing for a human to take on a wolf, especially a hungry one. A person has to be willing to expose themselves to danger or even death if they're going to stand between a hungry wolf and his dinner. It's the same if you were going to save someone who's drowning. If a person is drowning, it suggests the water is deep enough that you could drown there too. You know, whatever tide is pulling them down or exhaustion or whatever,
you risk that same thing happening to you if you go out on the ice to save a person that's gone through, or whatever the situation may be. That's the way that Jesus saves us, as he took on death and the devil on our behalf. While no one wants to die when saving another person, you have to be willing to die. That is, to offer your own life, if indeed you intend to actually save them. What is the life of another person worth to you? Would you be willing to lose a hand or a foot in order to keep another person from dying? Would you give up a kidney or take 10 years off your life in order to add 10 years to the life of someone else? Would you be willing to offer your life as a substitute for someone else? I realize that we would say, well, of course, yes, if it's your spouse or your child, but what about somebody you didn't know? Would you do it for someone who didn't want to be saved? Would you do it for someone who was going to die anyway? Or someone who's going to waste their life and never appreciate what you did for them? Would you still die? The Apostle Paul talks about that in his letter to the Romans, but here we have it from Jesus himself, talking about offering his own life to save the people of God. Elsewhere in John's gospel, he talks about God so loved the world. And included in the people whom Jesus died for are many people who don't want him to die for them, who don't even believe that he's God or even that he existed. He took on the sins and destroyed death for people who throw it back in his face, are going to die anyway. So when we say that God is our ever-present help in trouble, it's another psalm, we should be very clear that we're talking about the God that saves us. And that's the word I think we should be clear about using, saves, when we talk about what Jesus does for us. In the Old Testament, the image was a person who falls into a pit. It's called Sheol, the pit. The pit that you can't get out of. It's just too deep. There's nowhere out, no way out. How are you going to get out? Perhaps the pit is illness. That's just too great to bear. Or the pit of the valley of the shadow of death, where the enemy can shoot down at you like fish in a barrel. Even today, we talk about those who are in deep depression as describing themselves as living in a pit. If you've been there, if you know somebody who's been there, you know that those people don't just need a little bit of help, like sending down a rope or saying, just pull yourself up. When you're in this kind of pit, what you need is for someone to save you. Because left down there, you're going to die. In spite of all the comforts that we enjoy in our lives today, we are still very much in that same predicament. Life can be like a pit. Left to ourselves, you do realize that in a few decades, nobody in this room is going to still be here. Nobody gets out of this life alive. No one, ever. Well, no one except one. Now Jesus, who has laid down his life for us, has defeated death, never to die again. The pit could not hold him. Now, is the God of the Muslims or the God of the Mormons or any of the thousands of gods worshipped by the Hindus going to come down into your pit to get you? No. They're going to stand up in their heavens and tell you what you should do to get yourself out of your pit, to get yourself into heaven. You know as well as I do that that's not possible. But Jesus came down from heaven and was made man. He took upon himself our weaknesses, our illness, our guilt, and even our place in death. He got into the pit with us, where he suffered, died, and was buried. He descended into hell, not to suffer more, but to demonstrate that not even the hounds of hell could hold him. Folks, there is no pit so deep, no situation so dire, no sin so grave, no wound so mortal that Jesus will not or cannot come down to save you. And I don't mean he's going to come to help you, as in show you the way or throw you a rope or give you a little help to just accept that you're in this hole and it's not so bad. He doesn't do that. He comes all the way down into our human suffering, sorrow, and even death, so that he can show that he has power over all of those things. And he can demonstrate the love of God for you. He took on frail human flesh. And even though sin, death, and the power of the devil were against him, he made the way out for every one of us. In fact, he is the way, the truth, and the life. And this love of God, which will stop at nothing to save you, even the evil that you bring on yourself, he saves you from that also. This love of God is what the whole message of God is about. You are worth it to him. And he has what it takes to bring you out of sin, sorrow, and even death, and to bring you into the new and glorious and eternal life where he sets you free to live as the person that you were always intended to be. That is our ultimate salvation. That is what this is all about. Now, granted, by his Holy Spirit, he leads us and guides us and provides for us through life. He gives us what we need from day to day while we're here. But the message of the good news of Jesus is that this life is not all that there is. Life does not end in this pit. But he will call each of us by name and deliver us safe. You can stay in the pit if you want to. You can live in this hole. You can try to convince yourself that this hole's not so bad till finally you lie down here and spend eternity wondering what it would have been like to have been in heaven. Or you can listen for the voice of Jesus. Learn to hear his voice, to recognize his voice, knowing that he will come to pick you up and carry you out, so that he can heal your wounds and renew your strength and deliver you safe and sound into his perfect and eternal kingdom, where there aren't any more pits to fall into. Good Friday shows us Jesus has been in our hole. Easter Sunday shows us that he has made the way out for us. And no other so-called God that the world has ever known can even claim to be able to do that. There is only one who has not only claimed to be able to do it, but who has done it, so that hundreds and even thousands have seen that the grave was empty and that Jesus lives. And there have been tens and tens of thousands before us who have testified what he can do and what he has done for them in their daily lives, in their hope for the resurrection. This is the Christian faith. It is not a religion. It's not about learning what you need to do to climb your way out. It's not about doing for yourself or getting what you deserve. That's what religion is. Instead, it's about putting yourself in the hands of the one, the only one, who has defeated death and destroyed the grave. Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. Hallelujah. Hey, you guys are good. I just said both sides. But that's it. Hallelujah. Amen.
If you'd like to know more about our Saviors in Mankato, you can find us on the web at www.oslcmankato.org.